Amen. It's been a long time, hasn't it? It's been a long time I've stood on this platform. We've been down there a little bit, but you all look so much different. Oh, even more beautiful than normal. It's extraordinary. And to you guys online, great. I hope you're hearing and seeing everything. Just as Kate said, I just want to say a massive thank you to Bob Bishop, Peter Waller, Ron. Last few days, they've been trying to sort this out, and they've done a brilliant job. Give them a round of applause. And of course, all those who have over the last 18 months kept us going on Zoom, and all the technical staff like Eddie and the whole team there. Amazing. It's great to see so many gifts coming out and being used. But yeah, we're back in some capacity, and I look forward to even more people joining us. It's great to see all the kids here, for sure. So this morning, we're starting this new series in Ephesians, and I love Paul's letters. I love all of Paul's letters. But in particular, my favourite is probably Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Because it is just so rich and got so many promises in it for us as believers. You know, when I read it, when I heard it, just as Kate was reading it just then, I'm reminded that I am special and that I am accepted, that I'm loved, that I'm chosen, that I have been adopted into God's family, that I've been forgiven, that God has a plan for my life. I'm reminded of all those things, and I'm reminded too that it's the same for you, that you are special, that you are called, that you are chosen, that you are accepted, that you have been adopted into God's family, that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of your lives too. Therefore, the way that I treat you is really important, and the way you treat me is important, because we're special and we're acceptable in the eyes of God. And in particular, there's one phrase that makes this all possible, and it's been repeated several times in the first 14 verses. Who can tell me what that phrase is? In Christ. In Christ. Paul mentions it many times through his letters, but in the first 14 verses, it's something like 9 times that Paul says, in Christ. What does it actually mean to be in Christ? Well, the word in, the dictionary definition says, the word in is used to describe the state or position of one's thing in relation to another. Therefore, to be in Christ speaks of one's status. I want to do a little illustration. It's not completely perfect, but this is a ball, yeah, normal tennis ball, Slazenger. This is a bucket, normal bucket. I think it came from home base originally. What is the ball's status at the moment? So, now, if I put the ball in the bucket, what's the ball's status? If I lift the bucket up really high, what's the ball's status? If I put the bucket on the ground, what's the ball's status? If I cover the bucket so you can't actually see it, what's the ball's status? If I swing the bucket around, what's the ball's status? If I put the bucket on its side, what's the ball's status? Well, I did say it wasn't a perfect illustration, Dan. But you mean if I turn the bucket up like this? Ah, okay, fantastic. This is just like what it means to be in Christ. When we're in Christ, we're placed into Christ. Doesn't matter if we feel really high, really excited about that, that things are going really well. Doesn't matter if we're really low, that actually we're not sure what's really going on. It doesn't matter if we feel hidden, that, you know, life is just like, wow, it's hidden. Things are hidden. Or it doesn't even matter that life seems pretty chaotic, that it's going round and round and round. The truth is, and the reality is, even when our world is turned upside down, we're in Christ. We're in Christ. That's what it means. And Paul is telling us that because we are in Christ, we have all these amazing promises and blessings. In verse 3, he says, Paul tells us that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, I'm not the most academic, but what do you think the word every means? Again, I always go back to the dictionary definition. The dictionary definition is this, that it means all, without exception. Paul says, God says, he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So that means what? That we have some of his blessings? We have the majority? Some of the promises? No, it means all, without exception. It reminds me of that beautiful story about Baron Fitzgerald, a very wealthy baron. And he and the baroness, his wife, they had one child, a son. And sadly, when the child was just a toddler, the mother died. The son and the father became very close. But then tragically, when the son was a teenager, he too died and left the father totally brokenhearted and devastated. Because he was so wealthy, he decided to throw all his energies into art. And he amassed this amazing art collection, and it was worth millions of pounds. When eventually he died, he put in his will that he would auction off all these pieces of art. When it came to the day, people came from all over the world to look at these various paintings and pictures that he'd got up for auction. The auction started, and they began with one very simple, not particularly attractive, certainly not of any monetary value picture, and it was a picture of the Baron's son. And it had been produced by a local artist. And the auctioneer said, who will give me something for this picture? And everyone kind of looked around, I don't think so. That's not much there. And we're looking forward to the next ones coming up. And no one bid for it. But at the back of the room, there was an old man who used to be a servant to the Baron and the Baroness. And he'd seen the son born. And he'd seen him grow. And he was fond of the son. And he thought, well, if no one wants it, I'll have it. So he put his hand up and said, I'll give you £10. And the auctioneer said, fine, come and get it. So he went and got it. After the guy had taken it, the auctioneer suddenly went, that's it, the auction's over. No more. Everyone went, what? What do you mean the auction's over? There's all these incredible pieces of artwork that your auction is for sale. They're millions of pounds. Well, I've got clients who will pay millions for them. The auctioneer stood to one side and the solicitor came forward and said, I just want to read you some verses from Baron Fitzgerald's will. And his will said this. My son was the most important thing to me. Therefore, he who gets the son gets the lot. It belonged to you, old man, who bought the son. And what Paul is saying in this is that in Christ and through Christ, we get the lot. Everything. Not just some. Not just the bits we like, or will we get it all? And, you know, we can have confidence in that for three reasons. And this is a beautiful picture. We see the Trinity at work in bringing about these promises that God offers us. The first is this, that we see in these verses that it was God the Father who initiated it all. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one that he loves. Do you know, he picked you out. The doctrine of election. Did God choose us or did we choose God? The answer is yes. What, did God choose us or did we choose God? Yes. When you get to heaven, there's a big sign that says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And you will say, I'm going to serve Jesus. I choose Jesus. I'm putting my faith and my trust in Jesus for my salvation, for eternal life. I'm believing in everything he's done for me. I choose Jesus. And the door opens. And you walk in. As the door closes behind you, there's a big sign that says, chosen before the creation of the world. Picked out by God. You see, it's a mystery. You're precious, you're special because God chose you. Jesus said that when he came to the vine and the branches. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I chose you to bear fruit. But he hasn't just chosen us to become slaves or servants. He's chosen us to be sons and daughters. Sons and daughters of the King. We've been welcomed into his family. We have an inheritance. You know, when Paul wrote this, adoption wasn't a legal practice for the Jews of that time. It was in Roman society. For the Romans, it was. And if a wealthy Roman family, a couple, couldn't have their own children, they would often go to the servants in their household and they would say to them, we would like to adopt your son. And 9 times out of 10, the parents would say, yes. Maybe some of you feel like that. But you think, well, don't they love the child? Don't they want the child? No, it's nothing to do with that. They know there are two things that are going on here. The moment they say yes, they potentially can be free. They can remain in the household or they can be free, the parents. But they know for their child that their life is going to be transformed. They know suddenly they become the sole heir of this incredible estate, of this wealthy couple, that their life will be changed. They'll be educated. They have new opportunities, new name, you know, new whole new host of things. So they say yes. And that's exactly what happens to us when we say yes to Jesus. We're adopted into his family. We have a whole host of new things that are available to us. A new life, new beginning, new start, new opportunities. Some of you will know that Kate and I love the Northeast, and one of the places we love is Bamborough. And Bamborough Castle, which has been there a good 1,000 or so years, has had loads of kings live in it. It's got huge amounts of history. And in the 1900s, the family who owned it were called the Armstrong family. And the Baron and Baroness of Armstrong, they couldn't have children. So in the 1960s, they adopted 2 children, Francis and Isabella. And Francis and Isabella had been placed into foster care. They'd had a pretty tough start to life. They'd had a challenging beginning. But suddenly, overnight, they went from living in foster care in a 3-bedroom semi-detached house to suddenly living in a castle where their parents was a baron and a baroness. Can you imagine that? And of course, they inherited the lot. And they are multimillionaires. The guy, Francis, has done an amazing job, and his son now runs the whole manages the whole complex, and it's incredible. But that's like us. God has taken us and placed us in his family, and we have this incredible inheritance that is awaiting us. See, God the Father initiated that all, and he did all that because he loves you and because he loves me. The second thing we have is that Jesus the Son accomplished it all. These are ours, not because of what we have done, but they're ours because of what he has done through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. You see, we couldn't redeem ourselves. Only Jesus could do that for us. He paid the price. He laid down his life. We're forgiven and given this new life because of what he has done, and then we're placed in him. We're in Christ. Thirdly, we see the Holy Spirit at work. It's God the Holy Spirit who applies it all. In verse 13 and 14 it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." God has marked you out. He has put a seal upon you. You know when you buy something and you leave it in the shop, they normally put a sticker on it, don't they? They put sold. They put your name on it. God's got a big stamp and he stamps you and he says, "He's mine. She's mine. They belong to me." He's put his seal upon us. In the old days, the kings and the queens, they had these royal seals, didn't they? Which was wax. They'd melt the wax on the envelope or the letter or whatever, and then they'd stamp it with their stamp. And it spoke of authority and authenticity. It carried weight. God has put his mark upon us. We have the signature of God upon our lives. We belong to him, and nothing can change that. Church, it's so important that we understand our identity, who we are in Christ, because the world will want to mold us. The world will want to shape us. The world will want to tell us so many different things. But it's important that we listen to what God the Father says. It's important that we understand what Jesus the Son has done for us, and that we allow the Holy Spirit to bring it to life in us. So you're blessed. You're acceptable before the Father to the praise of his glory. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at these verses in Ephesians. We'll look at the letter to the Ephesians. And there's just so much in it. And I pray that you get hold of it. But we've seen this morning that it's the Father who's taken the initiative. It's Jesus the Son who has done what was necessary to make us his at great cost to himself. And that he's given us the Holy Spirit as a sign and foretaste of things to come. You know, knowing all that we're acceptable, that we're special, that we're adopted into his family, should actually change our lives. And should give us a confidence and an assurance that we could never get from anything in this life, in this world. And that is because you're in Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd take your word and you bring it alive to us, Lord. There's so much in it that's so rich and so freeing and so life-changing. Lord, give us some understanding. Give us a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ, what it means to be your child, adopted into your family. Lord, give us that deep thing. Holy Spirit, come and just do that work within us. Remove all the insecurities that we have. Remove all the fears. Remove all those things that stop us from coming to you, Abba, Father, and trusting in you and believing in you and walking in the promises you have for us. Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people here in the building and on Zoom and in the community around us. Lord, I pray your blessing and for the eyes of their hearts to be open, that they may see you and the hope to which you've called them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.